Good morning. Welcome to Grace Bible Church. Thank you for joining us. For those of you who are a regular part of Grace, our fellowship here, we'll be doing some announcements at the end of the service. But for right now, we'll just go ahead and get started in our worship through the Word this morning. So we're going to continue our series in the book of Romans. And since Jeremy finished off with Romans chapter 4 last week, we'll be beginning in chapter 5. So if you've been following our series for the last several weeks, then you know we spent a lot of time talking about justification by faith. And as a reminder, justification means to be declared righteous. And so when the Bible says that we are justified by faith, it means that when we place our faith in Jesus Christ as the one who paid for our sin so that we didn't have to, God declares us righteous before him. It's a legal term, like a judge slamming down the gavel. God declares us not guilty because Jesus took our guilt upon himself. And so the last half of Romans chapter 3 was all about how God is still righteous to justify us by faith, by our placing faith in Jesus Christ. And chapter 4 has been all about how Abraham is an example of the fact that justification has always been by faith, and how good works or religious rituals were never good enough. They were never even intended to secure our justification or our salvation. Justification can only come exclusively through faith in Jesus Christ, because he is the only one who is able to pay for our sins. And so again, if you've been following this, if you read through those first couple chapters of Romans on your own, you'll see that Paul has pretty well established the fact that justification is only through faith. It's not through any works that we do. It is exclusively through faith in Christ. And so now here in chapter 5, he is beginning to shift his argument from how we are justified by faith to the benefits of justification, or some implications of justification by faith in Christ. So Paul is basically going to start explaining to us, since we are justified only through faith in Christ, then that also means, you know, this thing that we need to understand, this thing that is beneficial for us to know and believe. And so that's what we're going to spend the majority of our time talking about this morning, is the benefits of being justified by faith in Christ. But before we get to that, there is still one last thing I want to make sure we're clear on in regards to justification or being declared righteous. And we see it right at the beginning of chapter 5. So Romans chapter 5, and if you're new to us and you're not sure where that is, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans in the New Testament. So Romans chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 1. And again, we're going to see something that I want to make sure we still understand about justification. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what we need to understand, and it's really important that we don't miss this, is that if we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, the act of justification is complete. And we can notice the tense that is used, since we have been justified by faith. That is past tense, meaning we have already been justified. It doesn't say we will be justified. It says we are justified right now since we've already placed our faith in Jesus Christ. And it's important that we understand this, because a lot of people will misunderstand this or redefine it. And their idea is that justification, our standing before God, is not determined until the end of our lives. And so I've heard things like, well, yeah, we're justified by faith, but we have to live out our faith in a worthy way. And if we do a good enough job of living out our faith, then God will accept us. Then God will decide we're worthy and righteous because I did a good enough job of living out that faith. But see, that doesn't really line up with what God's word says. It doesn't say we will be justified. It says we have been justified by faith. And it doesn't say by living out our faith, by living in a worthy way of our faith, it says we have been justified by faith. And that means when I place my faith in Jesus Christ, who did all the necessary work so that I could be justified, in that moment, I become justified and God declares me righteous before him. And the reason I can become justified in that moment is because my standing before God is not dependent on what I do. It is dependent on what Jesus Christ has already done for me. And I simply accept that gift through faith. And even going back a little bit from last week, the last verse of Romans chapter 4 tells us that Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. And so it is Jesus who completed all the work necessary for our justification. And when we place our faith in his work, not ours, we are declared righteous before God. And the act of justification is complete in that moment. There is nothing else left for us to do in order to be in good standing with God. Which, that in and of itself, is great news. But to add to that great news, because the act of justification is complete, because Jesus has done all of the work already, and I have no more work to do for my justification, since that work is complete, that means the benefits of justification are constant. They're always there and available for us. And it's good for us to understand why both of those things are true, why those two concepts are linked. Because if justification is not yet complete, if my standing before God isn't determined until the end of my life, and then it's decided, you know, whether I'm worthy or righteous or not, if that's the case, then I have no access to the benefits of being righteous now. I don't get to enjoy anything about having a good standing with God now because my standing hasn't yet been determined. But since my justification is complete, then I have full access to all of these benefits as much as I need for the rest of my life. And I hope it's obvious I'm speaking in the first person here, but this is true for all of us, right? That's why it's recorded here in the book of Romans, because this is true for all of us to understand that if you place your faith in Christ, your justification is complete in that moment, and you have access to all of these benefits. Let's start taking a look at some of those benefits to being righteous before God through faith. So the first one is still in Romans 5, still in verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So because I am justified right now, I have peace with God. I'm sure that when we continue our study, it'll be after Easter, but when we continue our study in Romans, either Ben or Jeremy will go into this more, because the few verses immediately after what we're looking at today describe how before our salvation, we were enemies of God. We were opposed to God. We were in conflict with God. You know, we did not get along with God. It was our natural state of being. But now that I am justified, I have peace with God. We are no longer diametrically opposed to each other. Before, we were working for opposite goals. God wanted what he wanted, and I wanted what I wanted. And obviously what God wants is the right thing. But we were working towards opposite goals. Before, we had to live in fear of God's judgment, worry that we would never measure up to his standard, which, of course, we never could on our own. But this particular benefit, again, it also helps us to understand that the act of justification is complete the moment I place my faith in Christ. Because if my justification is not determined until the end of my life, you know, if it's not determined till the end whether or not I did a good enough job living out my faith, you know, if it's decided at the end whether or not I'm worthy, then right now, that means I don't have peace with God. I don't know if I'm in good standing with God. And if my justification is not complete until the end of my life, Then I won't ever know if my standing with God is right until it's too late to do anything about it. So think about this. Have you ever had a relationship with an authority figure, but not known if they were okay with you? So for instance, for me, I once had a job with a supervisor, and they were my only supervisor. I didn't have other people to go to. And it was really important to me that I did a good job. And so, you know, I would try and ask for feedback on how I was doing. I'd ask if there was any way I could improve. And all I would get was just, oh, you know, you just need more experience. Just keep doing what you're doing. Okay. So does that mean I'm doing a good job or not? You're saying I need more experience. So are you happy with what I'm doing or not? And if I need more experience, can you tell me, you know, what I need to do to be doing better? And I could never get, you know, a straight answer. And so I often just had the sense that he really wasn't happy with what I was doing. But I never got any feedback that I should be doing anything different. And so, you know, how I felt in that relationship is I was anxious. I was worried. I was often frustrated because I had no idea if I was actually in good standing with my supervisor. And then, of course, I left that job and moved on to other things at a point. And at that point, it was too late, you know, and I needed some job references. And it was kind of scary to ask that supervisor to be my reference because I didn't know if he was actually happy with me, if he would give me a good reference or not, you know, but it was too late to do anything about it. But there was that constant worry and anxiety in that job. And if our standing with God is not decided until the end of our lives, you know, we're going to live with that same fear, that same anxiety, because we don't know where we stand. But thankfully, I don't have to deal with any of that because I have peace with God right now. And again, I can see that based on this passage in Romans 5. Look again at what it says. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, again, that's past tense, since my justification is complete, we have peace. That's present tense. Right now, I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I know that God is pleased with me because he is pleased with what Jesus did for me. And so I don't have to have any fear or anxiety in my relationship with God because Jesus has made peace between me and God. And so as far as my salvation, as far as my relationship with God is concerned, I know there's no need for me to wonder if I'm in good standing with God, because I know I'm in good standing with him. Now, you may be thinking, okay, well, that's all well and good, but you know, that's kind of out there, you know, that's you know, spiritual end of our lives types of things, you know, but what about right now? How does this matter for me today? And, you know, I was thinking about that because right now we're living in a time of a lot of anxiety and uncertainty and everything going on with this COVID-19. And I was thinking, okay, what's the worst case scenario? Worst case scenario is I get the virus and I die. Well, if that happens, then guess what? Well, I'm okay because I know where I'm going because I'm at peace with God. If this virus kills me, then I mean, obviously it will not be a pleasant experience. But once I'm gone, God's going to welcome me into his kingdom with open arms, and that's going to be okay for the rest of eternity. And that is the assurance that comes with knowing that I have peace with God because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I say all that, and I went through that whole thought process, and then I realized that actually me getting the virus and dying is not actually the worst-case scenario, at least for me right now in my life. The actual worst-case scenario is that my wife gets the virus and dies, because if that happens, then I have to figure out how to cook for my daughter. She's got a lot of allergies. I don't even know what they all are. My wife does. So I've got to figure out how to feed my daughter. I've got to figure out how to buy my own groceries, which I haven't had to do that in a while. And I've got to figure out how to raise my daughter and still work enough in order for us to live. And the reality is that's the real worst case scenario for me. But you know what? Even if that happens, even if my wife caught this virus and died, you know, and it's, I guess in one sense, it's easy for me to say this, but it's really not. But if that did happen, it would be okay. You know why? Because I am at peace with God. God's not out to get me. He's not out to make my life miserable. And he loves my wife and daughter far more than I ever could. And so if he allowed that to happen, he would do it already knowing how he's going to get us through it all. Because God is on our side. We are at peace with God if we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. Now you might have slightly different concerns, right? You may be more concerned about your job, your finances this time. You might be more concerned about not being able to go out and buy groceries because you can't afford it, or because you're not healthy, or the people around you aren't healthy. You might be more concerned about other things that you feel still need to get done. Regardless of your specific circumstances, this principle still applies for you. If you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then you are at peace with God. And he's promised to take care of your needs. And that's an amazing benefit to being justified by faith. We are at peace with God. He's pleased with us. We don't ever have to worry about our relationship with him again. But that's only the first benefit in this list. So let's keep looking. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Now, through him, through Christ, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So because we've placed our faith in Christ, we now have access to the grace of God whenever we need it. If you do contract the coronavirus and you're in full quarantine and you have no human contact and you feel miserable and lonely and isolated, you still have access to the grace of God to empower you through that difficult time. And I'm not trying to downplay that it'd be an extremely difficult time. But the grace of God is there for you to draw upon. You know, if I were to lose my wife to this virus and have to figure out how to raise my daughter on my own, it would be incredibly difficult. But the grace of God would be there for me to draw upon whenever I need. But maybe you're struggling with just loneliness during this time of isolation. Or maybe you're struggling with not enough alone time. Maybe you're struggling with having your whole family at home driving you up a wall. Well, that's okay. You can reach out to someone else in the church. You can spend time praying for one another. But most importantly, remember that the grace of God is there available for you to draw upon in your time of need. Or maybe you're just struggling with a certain sin right now. Maybe you're realizing you're not treating your family right during this time, or you're falling into sinful attitudes or thought patterns, and you know you need forgiveness, but feel like you can't fight the temptations on your own. Well, you still have access to the grace of God, and you can't use it up. God's love for you is infinite, his grace is infinite, and it's there for you to use whenever you need it. Because remember, the act of justification is complete. And that means that these benefits are constant. They're always ready. They're always available for you. You always have peace with God because of what Christ has done. You always have access to his grace because of what Christ has done, not because of what you've done. And our passage also tells us that we can always rejoice. The last part of verse 2 tells us, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Because we have been justified, because we have been declared righteous before God and are standing with him secure, then we can rejoice because we have hope. We have hope that no matter what happens to us, we will one day see the glory of God. And this hope, this biblical hope, is not just wishful thinking. It's not just, oh, I hope I get what I want for my birthday, or I hope I don't get the virus. You may or may not get it, but you really don't have a way of knowing And really, you're just wishing that you don't get the virus. But the biblical idea of hope is closer to an expectation. And it's an expectation based on knowledge. It's more like, you know, I expect my Amazon package to arrive today. And if I ask you, well, why do you expect that? Well, because I looked up the tracking information and it said, you know, out for delivery. It should arrive by 8 p.m. today. Like, okay, you have that expectation based on knowledge. Or for Alicia and I, we expect to have a new baby in our home sometime in October or November of this year. And it's not, oh, we wish that there would be a baby just up here in our home, you know, around that time. No, we expect a baby to come because Alicia is feeling the symptoms of pregnancy and because she's had an ultrasound and we've already seen the baby in its simplest form through that technology. And because we know that these things typically take about 9 months, so that should be about, you know, October 25th. So we have that hope or that expectation of a baby based on our knowledge. And in the same way, we have a hope, we have an expectation that we will one day personally see the glory of God based on our knowledge. And that knowledge, or that hope is based on our knowledge of God. We know that He doesn't lie, we know that He always keeps His promises. It's based on the historical reality of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's based on the promises found here in the book of Romans and elsewhere in God's word that anyone who places their faith in Christ is justified before God. And because I know that I am considered righteous before God through Christ, and I know that I have peace with God, then I know that I have a reliable hope. No matter what else happens, I will one day see His glory. And because of that, I can have joy. I have joy because I know that what ultimately matters for all of eternity is taken care of. And so I can deal with anything else as just being part of the journey. And I can live my life with joy and excitement, just looking forward to the destination. In fact, look at verses 3 through 5 here in Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So not only can I rejoice because I know that my final destination the glory of God in the future, I can rejoice right now, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of COVID-19, even in the face of uncertain finances and uncertain futures, I can rejoice because I know that God is using this time to sanctify me, to make me more holy, more Christ-like. He is making me able to live out His righteousness more and more accurately. You know, this is a crazy time for all of us. We're all facing something that really none of us have ever experienced before. And it can be scary. There can be a lot of anxiety, a lot of frustration, with not knowing what's next or how long this will last. And obviously, I don't know, but it sounds like it's probably going to get worse before it gets better at this point. But Paul tells us that we can rejoice in this time of suffering because God is producing in us the kind of faith that He wants us to have. Something that I've been taught that I found useful is whenever you're in a difficult situation, a hard time, a difficult relationship, and you don't know what to do, just ask yourself, what do I know that God wants to accomplish in this situation? Well, and to be honest, and obviously, I don't know everything that God wants to accomplish in this time of a global pandemic. But I do know what He wants to accomplish in the lives of believers. And it tells us right here, suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope. God wants to create a faith in His children that is strong with endurance, a faith that it can endure any trials, any struggles, any temptations, any circumstances. And when your faith has that kind of endurance, it begins to build a godly character. So if you feel like, you know, spending so much time with your family right now requires a lot of endurance because they're driving you crazy, well, guess what? Paul says you can rejoice because that means God is using this time to grow your character, to teach you to love your family more, to be patient more, to serve one another more. So perhaps by locking you in your house with your own family 24/7, God is making you more like Christ. Or possibly it's the reverse situation, and you're just isolated on your own. Maybe God is teaching you to rely on Him more, to spend more time in His Word, to trust Him more, to pray more. And again, I don't know the specifics of your particular situation, but I do know that God is using this time to build endurance and character in His people. And our passage tells us that when God is producing endurance in our lives and godly character in our lives, then He's also producing that hope in our lives. And again, we just looked at that a few minutes ago. But it's because when we go through suffering in this life, when everything goes wrong and life is totally out of control, we are reminded that our hope is not in this life. It's not in our governments or in our own sense of control. You know, if our government can't keep us safe from a virus or from earthquakes, you know, they can't offer us any real hope at all. And so these times of hardship remind us of the fact that our only hope is in trusting God. Now look again at verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, when it says that hope does not put us to shame, it means that our hope, our expectation in God, and what God has promised, will not disappoint us. See, again, if I say, well, I expect my Amazon package to arrive today, but something gets messed up and it doesn't arrive until tomorrow, well, then my hope has been disappointed, right? I might even feel silly for trusting that UPS, you know, Amazon, or that UPS app that never gets anything right anyway, right? My hope is disappointed. Or if something were to go wrong with Alicia's pregnancy and we were not able to have that new baby, we wouldn't just be disappointed, but we would be grief-stricken. Our hope of having a new baby in October would be shattered. And the reality is those are very real possibilities. But Paul tells us that our godly hope, kind of hope that God produces in us, will never disappoint us. We will never feel silly at the end of our lives believing what God has promised. And Paul tells us that is because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so as believers who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ for our justification, we have confidence that God has poured all of His love and grace into our lives through the Holy Spirit living inside of us. When we know that God loved us so much to the point that He was willing to come to earth and die for us, then we can also know He's not going to let us down, even in the midst of these chaotic and confusing times. When God has given us His Spirit to live inside of us, we know that He is holding us secure until the time comes for us to be with Him. In Ephesians 4:30, Paul describes the Holy Spirit as a seal that keeps us secure until the day of redemption. Ephesians 1:14, Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance, the guarantee that we will see the glory of God face to face. And so it's because of the love of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can be confident that God will not put our hope in Him to shame. And so we can rejoice in our sufferings. We can rejoice even in the midst of this pandemic, knowing that God is using it to make us more like Him and reminding us of the fact that our only hope is in Him. So if you're struggling during this time, and let's be honest, we're all struggling in some way during this time. But if you're struggling with anxiety or worry, or you're struggling with having hope because everything right now seems hopeless, or if you're struggling with sin and temptation and you know you're not living with the kind of endurance and character God wants you to have right now, then probably what you need to do is spend a lot of time reminding yourself of the truth of God's word. You know, if faulty thought patterns are going through your mind, intentionally remind yourself of God's truth. And the goal is to replace worldly thinking with godly thinking. And so, I mean, for you, and again, I'm just kind of spitballing ideas almost, but maybe that just means sitting and meditating on God's word with your Bible out in front of you on passages that speak to these things. Maybe you find it helpful to just print off some of these encouraging verses and hang them up around your home. Whatever it is that you find most helpful, the goal is to remind ourselves of the fact that no matter what happens, we are at peace with God. Again, we want to replace faulty thinking with godly thinking. And again, remind ourselves that worst case scenario, we still have the confident hope that we will one day see the glory of God. We can remind ourselves that God is still working in these circumstances, and if nothing else, we know that He is working in us to make us more like Christ. And because of these truths, we can rejoice even when the world around us is panicking. But really, being able to rejoice in these times is only a benefit for those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. If you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, then you really don't have access, because you don't know that you have peace with God. And all of those other benefits that go along with that. But if you're watching or listening and you haven't placed your faith in Christ as the only way you can be right with God, then I do have good news for you, and that is God offers forgiveness and His righteousness as a free gift you can accept right now by placing your trust in Jesus Christ. And when we do accept Jesus as the one who paid for our sin on our behalf, we become justified and declared righteous before God. And once we do, the act of justification is complete. All of these benefits are there for us to enjoy. We can enjoy the fact that we have peace with God through Christ. We get to live with full access to the grace of God whenever we need it. And we can live in joy, knowing that God is building us up through our sufferings, and knowing that whatever happens to us in this life, we are secure in the fact that we will one day experience the glory of God. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for the fact that we can continue to gather digitally, even though it's not ideal. It's not as beneficial as gathering face-to-face. I thank you that we can still continue to hear from your word and preach your word through our technology. Lord, I thank you for these reminders from the book of Romans. Thank you for the fact that through Christ, our justification is complete. And I thank you that we have all of these benefits to being in good standing with you, Lord. I pray that we would remind ourselves of these truths during this time of chaos and uncertainty. We would remind ourselves that we have peace with you. Remind ourselves of the fact that we have hope that we will see you face to face. And I pray that you would just remind us that you are working in us and growing in us during this time. Thank you for what you are doing and for your goodness and your love.